and coffee the morning after. A Critical Role fanfic, written by Impossible Truths. Read by Black Glass. She doesn't usually do her laundry quite so late, but Percy has invited her last minute to some family thing. And family things for Percy always end up being capital T things, and she's not going to leave her best friend to face that alone. But it would have been nice if he'd given her a little warning. So she's down in the basement laundry room sometime past midnight, washing the one nice dress Vex gave her for her birthday, and Percy's good pants too, because they're covered in the result of his attempt to rewire the toaster. She sits on one of the machines, feet kicking idly, nose buried in a book while she waits for the dryer to finish, and so does not notice the company until someone says, softly, "Oh." Keela's head snaps up to see a diminutive woman with bleached white hair standing in the doorway, arms full of clothes covered in... Is that blood? The woman glances down at the load in her arms and the prominent rust-colored stains, then back up at Keela. She says. "Yeah." "Oh. I didn't expect anyone to be down here." The woman says it half as a question. She's got a sweet voice, a little soft. Keela stares. "Right, yeah. 'Cause it's like 2 a.m. "Yeah. I didn't kill anyone," the woman says. "I'm not an axe murderer or anything." "No, I didn't... I didn't think you were." "Oh, okay, well, that's good." "What is..." She answers before Keelith manages to get the words out. "I'm a nurse."
"Oh."
"Oh, yes, that would make more sense than an axe murderer living in a rundown apartment a tram ride away from downtown."
"Yeah, I just..."
She shrugs a little, raising the clothes in her hand in a, "I get how this looks," sort of gesture. "My scrubs." "Right, right. That makes a lot of sense.
Do people usually bleed all over you?"
"Only on the good days," the woman says, and there's a hint of a smile at the corner of her mouth, and Keelith smiles back.
"I'm Pike," the woman says. 3C.
"Keelith," says Keelith. 4A.
"Nice to meet you, Keelith.
Do you think maybe I could use that washer?"
"Oh, yes! Sorry."
She hops off the washing machine as Pike starts to fill it, hovering awkwardly with her book still in hand. She considers the quite nice view of Pike's back, then hastily looks away. She's not sure what to do with her eyes, or her hands, or any of herself, really, and can't seem to find anything to say. She is saved, thankfully, by the alarm on her phone, telling her the load is done. Her dress is still a bit damp. She wasn't really supposed to dry it in the dryer, but she's only got so much time and, well, it'll be fine. But she bundles it into her arms anyway.
She says to Pike. "Good night, I guess." "Oh, are you going up?" says Pike, a little awkward. "I'll come with."
They ride the clanking elevator up in silence until...
"You should come by sometime," says Pike. "I'm trying to meet everyone in the building. Maybe for coffee?"
"I'd like that," Keelith says, just as they reach the third floor, and Pike grins.
"Okay, great! Have a good evening,"
she says, oddly chipper for about 2 a.m. Keelith likes that. "You too," she replies, as the doors begin to close.
"Good luck with your blood!"
The last thing she sees before the doors click shut again is Pike's mouth open to respond. But then the elevator moves again, and the woman disappears from view. Keelith leans her forehead against the elevator doors, eyes closed. "Jeez," she mutters to herself, and nearly falls out of the elevator when the doors open again one floor up, and she's still leaning against them. At least there is no one around this time to witness her make a fool of herself. She takes to doing her laundry late at night, in the hopes she might run into Pike again. but the next time they do happen to meet is not long after sunrise, one Saturday morning, both standing outside the same door, 3A, where someone has elected to play what seems to be the entirety of their CD collection at full blast. "I swear," Peg is saying, when Keela stumbles out of the stairwell, hair a mess of a braid and cardigan wrapped around herself like a bathrobe. "I'm going to kill him."
"Kill who?"
Keela asks, scrubbing one hand across her face, and wishing Percy weren't the kind to sleep through the ending of the world.
"Him,"
says Pike, pounding on the door. It opens a moment later, and a small brown-haired man, in a richly embroidered purple bathrobe, stares out at them. The robe seems more a formality than anything, given how loosely it is tied, and how much of his bare chest she can still see. Keela glances at it, then carefully stares over his shoulder instead.
"Good morning," he crows,
with a broad grin, over the strains of a song Keela's fairly certain she recognizes.
"How can I help you two beautiful women this morning?"
"Well," says Keela, still not quite looking at him.
I mean, if you wouldn't mind turning down your music."
"Scanlan," Pike cuts in, somehow managing to sound both very sweet and very angry at the same time, and Keela stares at her with more than a little awe. "If you don't turn that off, I will personally take the entirety of your CD collection and burn it."
He gasps. "Even the Queen?"
"Especially the Queen." He presses a hand to his chest.
"Blasphemy! And from a holy woman such as yourself!"
"It's 6 in the morning, Scanlan."
"True art knows no time."
"True art can use headphones until at least 9. Scanlan, Keela supposes that's his name, sighs, then pulls out his phone and hits a button, and the music cuts out.
"How could I refuse an angel such as yourself, who has pulled herself from the comfort of her own home to ask this of me? And in such a fashion, too."
He winks at her with a grin, and Keela realizes quite suddenly that Pike is not wearing any pants. She feels her face go hot. Pike, on the other hand, only raises an eyebrow, and Scanlan ducks his head.
"I'm sorry," he says, only a little unwilling.
"Thank you, Scanlan," she says, and kisses him on the cheek. Keela stares at the exchange.
"You could come over," he suggests. "I just got the new album you were talking about. You could listen to it quietly."
"Maybe later," she says, as clear a dismissal as anything, and the man deflates a little, then grins again and turns to Keela.
"I am most sorry for interrupting your rest," he says, with a bow of all things.
He offers his hand to her when he straightens. Scanlan short halt.
Says Keela.
"Keela."
"Wonderful to meet you, Keela," says Scanlan. "Do you like my sound system?"
"It's loud," she says. He grins.
"I know. It's great."
Pike huffs, but she doesn't sound too irritated about it. "We'll see you later, Scanlan."
"Of course, my love," he says.
And with one last smile and wink, he closes the door. Keela stares at the brass numbers nailed just above the eye hole. Pike shakes her head.
You, says Keela. "Is he your boyfriend?"
"No," Pike replies. "He's just like that."
"Oh."
"He's really quite nice, mostly," she says. She stares at the door, then Keela, then says, "Sorry, I'm not, you know."
She gestures at her legs.
Keela glances down, then looks away.
"Oh, it's fine," she says, voice a little too high. "I didn't even notice."
"Well," says Pike, "since you're awake too, would you care for that cup of coffee?"
"Yes," Keela says, a little too quickly.
"Yes, I would like that a lot."
"Okay," says Pike.
"Great." Keela trails her back to her own apartment, right next door, and is largely unsurprised to find it looks just like her own. The decor is different. Fewer plants and odd mechanical bits. More yellow and something that looks like it might be a shrine in the corner of the living room. Pike leads her to the kitchen, where a small table with a white tablecloth sits pressed against the window. She busies herself at the coffee pot for a moment, and Keyleth sits hesitantly at the table, doing her best to mask her mounting panic. Through the window, the sun has begun to rise, falling slanted across the table, and if Keyleth tilts her head just so, she can feel the rays on her face. The warmth of it is calming, and the coffee pot begins to clatter, the rich smell of coffee filling the narrow kitchen, and the sound and the smell and the light washes away her prickling anxiety. She breathes deep and turns to look at Pike, who stands at the counter but is staring at Keyleth. She smiles softly when Keyleth meets her eyes, and Keyleth feels her heart catch a little. She smiles back, tentative.
"I'll be right back," Pike says. "I should probably, put pants on."
"Oh, it's okay," Keyleth replies. "I mean, you don't have to. Unless you want to, I mean."
"Oh no," says Pike. "I hate wearing pants."
"Me too," Keyleth says, and laughs. And Pike's soft smile blooms into a full grin. She is, Keyleth thinks, really pretty.
"No pants then," Pike says.
And it's ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous. Sitting in the kitchen of a woman she's only met once, talking about pants, waiting for the coffee to finish, sun warm on her hands on the table in front of her, heart fluttering in her chest. It's absolutely ridiculous, and Keyleth cannot bring herself to be anything but happy. When the coffee's ready, Pike brings it over in two mismatched mugs, and they sit across from each other at the table, which is so small their feet touch, and Keyleth doesn't mind. Their conversation winds and wends, but Pike doesn't seem to mind her jumping logic or wandering thoughts. They sit there long enough for the sunlight to shift across the table, coffee long since finished, and it's nice in a way things have not been nice before. Pike's legs bump up against her own, and she smiles sunshine bright, and Keyleth does not want to leave. Her phone buzzes. Percy. Pike watches her read his message and sighs.
"I guess I should probably let you go."
"Oh, no, it's... I mean, yes, sorry, yes. But I'd like to stay if I could. It's just..." She waves her phone with a half-hearted shrug. "My roommate."
"I understand.
But maybe you can give me your number? So I can, return the favor?" Pike brightens, plugging her contact information in when Keyleth hands the phone over, and Keyleth floats home on Cloud 9. "Hi, Pike. It's Keyleth." She stares at the screen as the three little dots start to blink, chewing her lip as she waits for a response.
"Hi, Keyleth."
She takes a deep breath. "Do you want to get coffee again sometime later?" Peck's reply comes a split second later.
"Sure."
"Okay, cool. Have you ever been to the Slayer's Cake?"
"Yes!"
And from there, it is logistics, schedules, and all that sort of mess. But when she emerges from her room with plans for coffee Thursday next, she's smiling. "What's the good news?" Percy asks, looking up from his computer. "I'm getting coffee with a friend," she tells him, opening the fridge in search of something that's not old takeout. She'll have to talk to Percy about his eating habits. Also his sleeping habits. Also, well, she'll have to talk to Percy. "Huh. A friend." "It's not like that," she tells him automatically, and he blinks up at her from behind his glasses, far too laconic to be honest. "No," he says, humoring her entirely, but his eyes are glinting. "No, of course not." She hits his arm, but not even that can wipe the smile off her face. Percy pats her hand and goes back to his work. Coffee is wonderful. And then a few days later, lunch is wonderful. And then the show Vax is in the next weekend is wonderful. And then Scanlan's gig is wonderful. And Percy smirks through it all. And Vex shakes her head with a long-suffering sort of look when Keyleth tells her about it. And Keyleth's heart keeps doing little flips when she sees Pike. And she's pretty sure she knows what that means, but that's scary. So she just tamps that down. A lot. The last person she expects to bring it up is Pike herself. They're sitting at a bar. Some little place called Hop's Machina or something like that. And Keyleth is halfway through her drink when Pike leans over the table and says,
Keyleth, I want to ask you something.
Okay, says Keyleth, who has known since she started drinking that she can't hold her alcohol and is beginning to feel comfortably loose. What's the question?
Are we dating?
Oh, says Keyleth, and the nice light buzz disappears in an instant, and she frowns.
Because, says Pike firmly, I'd like to. Date.
Oh, Keyleth repeats. Her brain seems to be shorting out.
But if you don't, that's okay, Pike assures her,
and Keyleth scrambles to put the blurring static of her mind into actual words, before Pike gets the wrong impression.
No, no, she manages. I mean, yes, I would like to date.
There, that's clear. Pike stares at her.
Really?
Yeah, she says. And then, because it's important to explain, she says, I just, didn't think you wanted to.
No, I do, Pike says. I invited you for coffee when I was in my pajamas, remember?
Keyleth does. Well.
Oh, right. Because I liked you.
Oh.
A lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Keyleth blinks a couple of times, and Pike stares at her. Okay, she says. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Pike says. And for a moment they stare at each other, and then they burst out laughing.
We're so dumb, Keyleth says, and Pike nods. So dumb. It's okay, though. I don't mind being dumb with you.
And Keyleth grins, and Pike takes her hand from across the table. And they are dumb. They are so dumb. But Pike's holding her hand, and they're dating, and that part isn't dumb at all. That part is wonderful. Percy will be insufferable, of course, but right now she doesn't care. The room smells like coffee when she wakes up, like coffee and Pike, and she pulls herself out of Pike's bed and wraps herself in her cardigan and emerges from the bedroom to find Pike standing at the counter. The sun spills across the table, and two mismatched mugs are there in the light. And Pike smiles at her, and Keyleth leans down for a kiss, and everything is soft and warm and beautiful and perfect.
Good morning, she says with a smile,
and Pike grins back, wild and brilliant.
Good morning. End of story. Thanks for listening.